Welcome to the Nebraska Soybean Board Weekly Market Roundup, being brought to you by Nebraska Soybean Farmers and their checkoff. I'm Susan Littlefield. Well, what a week we have had. We talk about a wild ride. It started Monday and just continued till the close today. Will that trend continue into next week? We've got a lot to look at, especially with the movement that we saw within the grains and some interesting things happening on the cattle side. So more is coming up. Stick around.
Meet the champions of innovation in the heart of Nebraska. They're not just farmers, and they nurture more than just crops. Pushing boundaries and turning challenges into opportunities. They trade knowledge and know-how, and their dedication doesn't end at harvest. It's in your every bite and every drive. The future of food, fuel, and fiber, and the future of Nebraska starts right here.
Welcome back once again. As you can see, Alan Brugler joins us with Brugler Marketing and Management and John Payne with Hedgepoint Global Markets. And gentlemen, when I said it was an interesting market week, let's hard to sum it up, except for maybe a wild ride. And wanted to ask, first of all, what were your takeaways as you kind of look the overall picture of this week's trade? And Alan, I'll kind of start with you.
Well, we saw some pretty positive price movement overall. You know, we bottomed late February, early March, and we're still trying to go up here. We ran into some chart resistance on both the corn and the beans. It looked kind of tough there going home on Thursday, but I like the closes on Friday. We didn't extend the losses to the downside. So the market's trying to generate a little bit more of an uptrend here and get some more cash grain movement, I think.
All right, John, kind of what did you see in this trade for this week?
Well, it's the theme is you know, we've discussed this before when we talk on the radio, Susan. I'm you know, big believer in the behavior that happens around delivery. And just because delivery is when the futures, you know, become cash and we settle out, you know, a lot of plans that farmers have for the future, those become due. And I think that March time period, we saw a lot of grain need to clear just to make room for things, pay bills, and get, you know, financing up to snuff to a degree. And now we kind of are back into that mode again where, well, I think they're selling. If you're writing HTAs, you probably have 28, 30 sessions left before you have to price. So we're in that time period window where, you know, there's the board kind of needs to behave a certain way to try to pull cash, like Alan said. And in the case of corn, I think it's doing that to a degree. The question will really be in regards to acreage. So that new crop December 24 contract that just kind of stuck to 370 here, I think we'll probably be here somewhere close to this level going into the March 30th report.
All right, Alan, I want to start talking about the export. So we'll start with you when it comes to corn. Kind of give you us your thoughts on this export window.
Well, we're in a very interesting situation here because, of course, Brazil had a record corn export crop last year, and they've had record exports the first several months of this year. But last month, they dropped down to less than 2 million tons. And the monthly shipments for corn are likely to be 2 million tons or less all the way into July. Then they'll start to pick up as that winter corn comes off. So what's the point? There's a hole in the world marketplace of 3 to 5 million tons a month here that Brazil and to a lesser degree Argentina have been meeting. And both of them are pretty much out of the market here. The U.S. is competitively priced. And so we should see a big pickup in U.S. export sales here. You know, we should start to see 1.5 to 2 million ton a week totals from USDA, maybe even a little higher on occasion. We'll really need to have that because USDA's probably got 850 million or more dialed in for third quarter exports if you look at their full year number. But I think we're in a nice situation to capture some of that export business. That has implications for corn basis, of course, and or board price. If the board rallies too hard, you probably won't get the basis tightness. But again, I think we're in a nice setup here, and having the funds big shorts in the market means they could also cover if we get a little rally going.
Now, I had read earlier on Friday talking about the PNW as kind of one of those export location opportunities. What are you hearing? Is it more that? Is it the Gulf? Is it a combination thereof?
Well, I would say the PNW is got to compete with, you know, the Chinese markets at this point. And so China's been buying from Ukraine, which, you know, they buy in bulk. And I think that a lot of the trade maybe thinks they're done for the short term. There's also talk of liquidation of the hog markets there that I think will continue to kind of loosen the feed markets, the demand for feed. But Alan's right. I mean, this is the time where the U.S. is going to set up for capturing business. The question really is, how quickly does the South American crop make it to the market? And then I think over the longer run, really the market's going to get a signal here in regards to what they're going to plant next year. I know that's kind of long term down the road, but we like to find levels in price where behavior changes. And, from what I've heard from the folks we work with in Brazil, that they've kind of lost interest in corn right now at these prices on the margins. Now, I'm not saying there isn't a lot of corn available, but, we've been seeing acreage growth in Brazil for 7-8 years, maybe longer than that now, but I mean, substantial growth. And, we've had obviously higher demand for world markets as well, but not to this case. And if we could see that slow a little bit, I think you can see a long-term low kind of set in here. And from a buy side, and I'm going to speak not just the producers, these are the end users here. If you want to put in some certainty, I mean, you look at that DS25 right now trading in the sub $5. And I mean, I don't see fundamentally any reason why we need to shoot higher here, but you never know. I mean, the war in Ukraine continues to kind of rage and, it's simmering to a degree outside of the headlines. But if things would happen and it spills over into the center part of the country where there's a lot of grain moving around, I think there could be a shock to the market rather quickly here. Timing, that's impossible. But that's something that you can keep in mind here, especially for longer term bets.
All right, Alan, Ken, what's your thoughts on that trade opportunity?
Well, again, on the corn side, I think we've got it. On the soybean side, we're in a little different situation. The Brazilian production has slowed down from a year ago because of the weather conditions down there. But at the same point, that Argentina's soybean crop is almost double a year ago because they don't have the drought that they had last year. Total South American supplies are going to be still larger than a year ago, even if Brazil were to drop to 150 million tons. So, we got a little bit of an uphill battle on the soybean side on the exports, but I'm okay with that because I think crush is the real growth story here. I've been arguing for about 2 years now that we will actually lose export market share for beans in favor of domestic use, in favor of crush. And that was just reinforced today when we had the NOPA crush numbers come out for last month, and those were stronger than expected. And suggest that USDA is a little light on their soybean crush for the year.
So then, Alan, is the bean oil the one that we need to watch? I know John and I talked about that on Friday. Kind of want your takeaway too.
Yeah, on the bean oil is mainly getting help from palm oil right now. Okay, right. The bean oil, CME has a nice little chart they put out that shows you the spread between bean oil and palm oil. Bean oil had gotten very cheap versus palm oil, and then palm oil started the rally. So it's kind of forcing bean oil up, because the cheap competition is going higher here. The we are having a little bit of a problem working it into the biodiesel industry and into the renewable diesel industry both. The inclusion rate of bean oil has dropped from 45% down about 38% of the blend right now. That was because bean oil prices were not competitive and some of the subsidy levels had dropped, the California carb credit, the RINs, and so forth. But having said that, palm oil is going up. Bean oil was technically very oversold. You're chasing out some shorts in both the bean oil and in the beans. And the potential is there for it to continue, realizing that we've got grain stocks and planting intentions coming up here on the 28th of March.
Anything else, John, you'd like to add to that thought?
Yeah, just to talk a little bit about beans, given we're sponsored by the Nebraska Soybean Board here. Brazilian, this is the one thing I've learned from working for this company that's in Brazil in regards to how they hedge their beans. And we are at a point right now in Brazil where we're seeing unwinding of positions for on our books, not because these guys are bullish, but because they've sold the grain or the soybean. So the soybean goes to market, and it goes to market in the Brazilian basis market. Excuse me, goes to basis, competes for basis down there, but doesn't really reflect the CBOT to a degree. But when they come out of those futures, they have to buy the board. And you get to a price here where I think, we're just going to see some fundamentally, not saying profit taking, it's just the fact is we don't need hedges here. So you're going to see them being put on the back end. Now, how quickly? That'll depend on profitability. obviously a lot of folks have different profitability there, but I do expect those guys to get involved and hedge rather quickly because we loan the money. That's how it works. We loan the money to the producer. Mm-hmm. They put on the hedges. Well, if they're not, you know, hedging, then they don't need to borrow the money. Why not hedge it? So I say this to watch for short covering. I think that would be one thing in beans you could really be careful of this spring.
All right. You know, Ellen, you brought up March 28th. It's hard to believe that we are 9 trading days away from a much anticipated March 28th report. What's your thoughts, takeaway of what we could see as we prep for those numbers?
Well, we're expecting corn acreage to be down, bean acreage to be up. You've had a little pushback as to how much of a corn acreage drop there might be. A recent survey from a brokerage firm suggested it might only be a million and a half acre drop. The soy corn ratio clearly says you should plant more beans and less corn nationally. But as you talk to producers, you get a little more mixed picture. Some of them, the balance sheet still looks better for corn. So, you know, to me, that's going to be the high leverage number on the reports on the 28th. Old crop, of course, you are waiting on grain stocks. That tends to true up the numbers. And USDA has surprised us rather badly a couple of times on grain stocks. So, you know, I don't want to get too cocky here, but I'm thinking that we're still going to see about $1.1 billion more corn in inventory on March 1 than we had a year ago. Soybean inventory will be down from a year ago, but still up from 2 years ago in that report.
So, John, as we look at that, talk about an uptick when it comes to corn, does that then turn beneficial maybe for the cattle guy out there?
Well, that's a different, yeah. I think the grain markets are going to sway the cattle guy.
Oh, I think he froze up a little bit on us.
For beef. You know, north of $300 for the choice, and it's still Lent. This is not a time of the year where you tend to see highs made for that market. So I think as we move forward here, the cattle guy is kind of tied to the leverage of the beef markets. The beef markets are tied to the leverage of the consumer, and we're getting hot inflation data. Job numbers remain rather tight. I mean, it's, I would say it's hard not to have work at this point, but, you know, there's a tremendous amount of opportunity there, and wages are up. So, you know, the consumer really has the market by the horns here. It's something I haven't really seen in my career, not to age Alan, maybe he can educate us a little bit. But on, you know, I don't know if we saw this in the 90s with the consumer kind of balance sheet growing a little bit with beef. But, you know, certainly it comes at a time of the year where you're going to have tightness anyway. And, you know, without a big drought in the Southwest, I don't think liquidation is going to happen. So my thing would be, you know, buckle up, especially in the back end of the curve.
All right, gentlemen, we unfortunately have run out of time. I appreciate both of you joining us today. Just a quick reminder that commodity futures and options do involve a substantial risk of loss, not suitable to all investors. And that's this week's Nebraska Soybean Board Weekly Market Roundup.